Coming up on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, the Cougars are coming off their week off with the Arizona Wildcats in town for a marquee matchup and a national showcase event. And we're working for the weekend with the coach and special guest Isaiah Banya, next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics.
Once again, Cougar Nation, we're coming off the bye week. It's been a while. Welcome back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building on the beautiful Brigham Young University campus in Provo, Utah for our Week 6 edition of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. So glad you're joining us tonight, either live or on demand via the BYU TV and BYU radio apps and ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's broadcast, we will look back on how BYU got to 5-0 and into the national top 15 after being unranked in the preseason. We will preview Saturday's showcase showdown with the Arizona Wildcats. Deep Blue will profile BYU tight ends coach Kevin Gilbride. Defensive end Isaiah Banya will be our in-studio guest. Plus, we'll have some Q&A with the coach and Isaiah and our weekly BYU football trivia question, plus a uniform check at the end of the show. Well, after an away game and a bye week, it's great to have the Cougars back home. So to get tonight's show on the road, let's bring in the head coach of your BYU Cougars and the birthday boy in a couple of days, Kalani Sitake. Go. All right. Haven't seen you in a couple of weeks.
I know, it's been forever.
Good to have you back.
Back to the show and regular game week, so let's have some fun.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Yeah, nice
love
crowd.
You guys.
Really good crowd. I did mention this briefly in the intro. Birthday week for you.
I almost forgot.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
I mean, I'm living the dream, so every day is a birthday gift to me, so I'm not... Can't complain about it, and I'm just getting older. I'm just be big 4'9" on
Thursday. You're a 49er this week.
I am, yeah. I'm 49er for life, and Cougar for life, and you know, was just getting old. But I got to shave, so there's no gray hair on my face, just my hair. And I had no gray hair when I got this job, and now it's like, there you go, it's happening. So
yeah, that's why I shave it tight, because when it grows out, it grows out gray.
I'm maybe 1 year away from doing your hairstyle, so we'll be twins.
Thursday, right, though? Is your birthday day?
Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, well, happy birthday to Kalani. Happy 49th coming up this week. Also mentioned this in the intro, BYU goes from unranked in the preseason, and here you are sitting in the top 15, 14th and 15th in the two major polls. It's a steady rise. You got to be consistent. You got to be, as you say, hungry and humble and keep playing your best every week. But what a great reward for these guys to be sitting in the top 15 right now.
Yeah, I'm just really proud of the team and the players. The hard work pays off, and you know, they've been able to overcome some adversity, obviously, from last year, but leaders have stepped up, and so it's easy for me when I have wonderful young men to coach, and then we have the best fan base in the world. So it makes a lot of sense for it to get some success. And you know, we're looking forward to being back home after being away last week and having the stadium rock. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's funny, Kirby Smart, head coach of Georgia, was actually saying this week, he's like, man, I wish our stadium had more noise in it. And I was like, well, it's not our problem, because when Lavelle Edwards Stadium has been a great place to play football here, really, since you've been here the entire time. But what a great vibe it's been at home this year.
Yeah, and everyone that pitches in, there's a lot of work that goes into setting it up. It's from all the people that work at the stadium, the events, and everyone just has it from the concessions, which I love. I never get to take part of, you know, but it's the dancers, the entertainment, the band. I mean, I know I'm leaving people out, cheer team. I mean, all that goes into this this wonderful event, and we just have a lot of fun doing it and performing for the fans, and I know the fans enjoy it. So it's a spectacle, and I love being part of it.
So this Saturday, you'll be at roughly the halfway point of your season, regular season at least. And, you know, what people thought was going to happen in the Big 12 in the preseason doesn't look a lot like that five games in right now. A lot of things have been shaken up, and teams who were picked higher, a little lower, teams picked low, like BYU, a little higher. You never know in this game. And in the Big 12, there's been some surprises already.
Yeah, and I think if the guys just focus on performing at their best, that's been our focus. It's not about the result base and not about the wins. It's actually about just going out and doing your best. And you can live with the result if you just perform at your best. And that's what we're trying to get the guys to do. I think we can play better. What I like from our team is that we've gotten better every week as we went along. And I can say that the bye week we got better too. So I just want to show it off, you know, on Saturday and see how much better we can show from week one to week six, you know, to game six. And but I'm just really proud of the guys and then the leadership on our team. I'm really proud of what they're doing off the field, the service that they're committed to doing. I mean, it's just more than just football here at BYU, and it always will be that way. And it's not anything that I've done. It's something that Lavelle started from the very beginning, is to make sure that the program is aligned with the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so we're well aligned with that. I feel good about where we're at. Same thing that Coach Mendenhall did and that Croton tried to do when he was here too. And this is the wonderful thing about BYU football, is that Lavelle kind of set the standard, the example, and then we'd be foolish not to try to follow.
How did you get better during the bye week? What did you do with the guys last week?
Well, healthier is one of them. I mean, we got some guys that are back. L.J. Martin's back and had a great practice today. So him and Hinkley Ropati are ready to go. And you know, we've been missing them. I'm really thankful that we had guys step up while they were injured and while they're healing. So in that one way is that we've been able to heal quite a bit. But we're always going to work on the fundamentals. And when it comes down to football, it's just like everything else. It usually comes down to simple and small things. And so we go back to the fundamentals of football. Just like in life, you go back to the fundamentals of the gospel and doing the small things first. And then you start to realize that when you do all things the right way, it makes a better result for you. And it makes you happier and brings joy to your life. So that's what it is. It's like it's nothing groundbreaking other than it's something that these young men have been grown with. They've been raised with this already. And my job is just to keep reminding them how they were raised and put it together in a team.
When you're 5-0, you attract attention as well. Fox is bringing the Big Noon Kickoff show to Provo this weekend for the first time. That'll shine another new spotlight on BYU.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think you know, and those are great personalities that are coming in on that Fox staff. And I mean, you know, we connected to a lot of those guys. They've done a great job for college football. I know our fans will do a great job welcoming them all in, you know, and Urban Meyer is one of them. And I know that he coached for Utah before, but just a reminder that he was super kind to me and showed me a lot of kindness when I was up and coming as a coach. He was able to take care of me when I was looking to do some development. So when he was at Florida, he opened up their office for me to come and talk to their defensive coaches. He did the same thing at Ohio State. And so I know our fans will show him a nice warm welcome, you know, just like they did when Bronco came back and played against us. I forget what year that was. And I'm 40, almost 49. I'm getting old. I can't remember it. But it's the way our fans are, you know. And our fans are the best when they're at their best. And so looking forward to them just being different than everyone else and being unique. It's why I love them. It's why they're the best.
We'll talk more about the weekend schedule with Fox, et cetera, coming up a little bit later on in the show. Well, with BYU still undefeated and ranked as we reach the midway point of the 2024 campaign, let's kind of go through the season quickly and review how BYU got to 5-0. These are season highlights presented by Waystar. It began in the month of August, in late August against Southern Illinois. This is how the season got underway. You brought in a really good FCS program to Provo.
Yeah, and they had some success, and we made some mistakes, but just like the way the guys just kept playing and kept believing in each other. It was all about everyone doing their part. We had some guys trying to take it upon themselves to make the play themselves and realizing that they have to play complementary football with the other 10 guys on the field. And once they did that, I think we were able to take over the game.
BYU defeating SIU in the opener. That's how the season got underway. So an FCS school to get the season going, and then it was down to Dallas to take on an SMU team that was on a 9-game home win streak, and they had been averaging 54 points per home game in that streak. and the Cougars played well from the get-go in this one. This was back and forth, a lower scoring game, but you kept SMU out of the end zone all night long.
Yeah, and we watch it on film, you could tell that this is a really good team, tons of talent and well coached, and we knew it was going to be a battle playing it at their home stadium, and we had representation. Our fans were there to help cheer us on, and our guys made a few more plays than they did, and we were fortunate to come out with a victory. You see how good they're doing right now and what they're doing in against their ACC schedule.
You're their only loss
of
the season.
Yeah, they're doing so great. I think they're ranked too. So,
yep.
Really good team, and wish them the best the rest of the way. But we were able to find a little bit of identity in this game too and kind of grow from that game.
Then it was time to renew an old rivalry going up to Laramie.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, it was nice to be there in September and not November. You know, big difference. And I was able to be on the sideline with a short sleeve, but a really, really cool environment. I thought the fans were awesome, on our fans and also Wyoming. It was like seeing old friends again and competing on the field. But it was a cool experience. Glad that we got a lot of reps for young guys and developed guys.
So that capped the BYU non-conference portion of the slate. By the way, this you had just finished moments ago telling Keelan in the halftime locker room to make sure you hit it on that kickoff return to open the second half, and that's what he did with it.
Yeah, I wish you guys didn't capture that on video, because now I'm just telling every player to make every play and all that, trying to you know, basically forecast good fortune on our behalf. But it was one of those things that you just knew that he was so close to getting that score. And I mean, the guys had a really good time there in Laramie. It was a lot of fun.
Solid win for BYU. And then the conference play got underway. And what a night against K-State. Special Saturday night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And the latter part of the first half saw everything change. The defense rising up, scoring there with Tommy Prassis, and pick and interception. And in the second half, another pick. And this thing swung really quickly.
Yeah, we were able to score the 31 points in the middle eight, which was nice. And I like the way our team responded. I mean, it was early. Just looked like it was a tough, not a lot to cheer about. And then our fans just started cheering when we got the turnover and scored. And then it just seemed like it never stopped. It was a deafening environment and a lot of fun. But again, a really good team. We had some good fortune. I didn't foresee this one happening. You know, I've been telling him to catch the ball, you know, and get a regular punt return. But this is nice when good things happen, even when you're lucky. I think you have to be really thankful for those moments.
Really special moment at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Sione Moa was kind of a revelation in that game. One of a number of running backs you've had to turn to this season.
A lot of guys stepped up, and freshmen like Sione Moa and then freshmen like Pokai Honga. Those guys did a great job for us.
All right, and the last game you played after you got to 4-0 and 1-0 in league was down in Waco, and an outstanding start for BYU. You're up 21-0 in the first quarter in this one.
Yeah, great way to start. I think a lot of people were concerned about us being up early in the morning, and I kind of liked it. These guys are used to being up early from seminary, stuff like that. So I don't know why people were so concerned. We have a lot of return missionaries on our team that get up at 6:30 every morning. So I don't know why people were worried about us being up early. But obviously, it did well for us to play early in the morning. We just got to find ways to sustain those leads. And then I think there's ways that we can do it. It's just going back to the small and simple things, the fundamentals. We can just, you know, convert some plays, execute better. Then it doesn't have to have so much drama like we did here. Even though I'm thankful that we were able to get it, I like the less dramatic wins. The end of the Kansas State game was a lot more fun to me.
The defense making plays to seal the deal in Waco, and really the defensive identity has been so solid for BYU. These are just a few scattered numbers of note from the first five games of the season. I know you love the fact that the turnover number, you're getting a lot of takeaways. You're a tremendous, outstanding top five team in pass efficiency defense. The entire D's been playing so well, but it's coming from everywhere right now. There's a lot of complimentary football being played.
Yeah, and just the discipline from the team. I think the guys are it's nice when the leaders are correcting themselves and are speaking to the underclassmen and seeing the mistakes and correcting it on the field rather than the coaches having to do it all the time. It's nice when they're policing each other in terms of what the right proper technique and the right alignment and assignment. And so I have to give a lot of credit to our upperclassmen and the leadership that we're getting from them.
Those season stats we saw presented by Smarty. Coming up, meantime, Saturday at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, it is BYU in Arizona, their fourth meeting in Kalani Sitake's 9 seasons. BYU has won the first 3 get-togethers, including your head coaching debut back in 2016 down in Glendale. The first opponent you faced as head coach of BYU was Arizona.
Yeah, our old friends. And so, I mean, this is, you know, it's been fun watching them. And now that we're back in the same conference together, I mean, it just makes sense for us that we're close to each other to play more often. Really talented team. You guys, those have seen them play. I mean, they have an explosive offense and underrated defense. Not a lot of people talk about their defense, but you look at their staff and you look at their coaches. I mean, I'm really good friends with their head coach and good friends with a lot of guys on their staff, but they have a lot of legends on their staff, guys that have coached a lot of wins and a lot of championship teams. So their team will be ready. They went up to Salt Lake City a couple weeks ago and went into a difficult environment and came out with a win. And I think they won that game 23-10. So they definitely have our attention. We can see it on film. I want our guys to just be humble, and we respect our opponents, and we know that we're going to get their best shot. I've said it every week that we just got to make sure that they get ours as well.
Your second season at BYU was 2017. That was Coach Brennan's first season at San Jose State, his previous stop, and you played him that season. You faced him one time as a head coach. You got that win back in 17. By the way, the 3 games you played against Arizona, the one common theme was they've all been away from Provo. You had Glendale, you had Tucson, you had Las Vegas. Now you finally get them at your place.
Oh, yeah, well. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. I feel like you know that I'm getting older, so you have to remind me. it's been really fun to see this team and to see the progress through the last 9 years I've been head coach and to be able to play against them. I think the Brennan coach does a great job coaching his team and like I said, they'll be ready to play. It's an honor for us to be on the field with them.
Saturday's game will cap a busy homecoming week. And as mentioned earlier, it has attracted Fox's Big Noon Kickoff Show. And that means some extra special events around the game this week. Friday night at Heliman Field, local product and international superstar DJ Cascade will host a fan jam starting at 9 p.m. Doors will open at 8. And students can buy up to 2 tickets per person for this event. Cascade shows in Vegas, by the way, are always sold out, big ticket items. It's a huge get for BYU. It'll be a big show. People will enjoy that. Then Saturday morning, Fox's Big Noon Kickoff begins at 8 a.m. in the West Stadium parking lot. Get there early and get loud for this national TV audience. The game itself will kick at 2 on Fox TV and BYU Radio. And for more details on a busy week of homecoming and game day activities, including that Friday night concert, go to BYUCougars.com. All right, as we break, your reminder that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan. Weekdays, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Deep Blue will profile BYU tight ends coach Kevin Gilbride and defensive lineman Isaiah Banya will join us live in studio when BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. Stay with us.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics, Waystar, and Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU athletics, in partnership with the San Bernardino International Airport.
All right. Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. It is time now for our weekly Deep Blue profile. And it took some time for Kevin Gilbride to come around to coaching, but he now embraces the profession. Following in his father and grandfather's coaching footsteps, he looks to make an impact, a lasting impact, on the lives of his players. This is Deep Blue, featuring BYU tight ends coach Kevin Gilbride.
I never knew my grandfather. He passed before I was born. The first memory I have of him being described to me was by my father.
He was enthusiastic about it because he loved doing it. He was very influential in a lot of young people's lives.
He was a math teacher and a coach. And so the teaching and the coaching and reaching young men and women was present early in my dad's life because of his father, and was present in my life because of my father.
Kevin's father was an offensive coordinator in the NFL, head coach as well in the NFL. So Kevin comes from a great lineage. He understands what it takes to be a good coach. I mean, he's seen it, he's been raised in it.
I remember when he came in as a true freshman, we kind of knew that he knew the game of football probably a little bit better and differently than we did when we were raised. And so he had this high expectations of his football IQ, and he had a great football IQ.
We were really close in the year that he was here. And then I graduated and he transferred to the University of Hawaii.
And then it didn't work out on the football field.
It was frustrating because that was my dream, was to start and play and then hopefully eventually get to the NFL level. But if nothing else, to play Division I football and be the starter for at least 2 years was always my goal.
And so it moved and transitioned to baseball.
Not having played a ton in baseball was then also very frustrating. And that's what was end of freshman year, then into sophomore year, and now I'm not the starter or starting in either sport. It took its toll on me. And so I had to really evaluate, you know, what was important in my life and, you know, where I was heading.
Sometimes it takes failure and disappointment to really learn, right? And grasp what your true calling is. And again, we all want to play in the NFL forever or in the major leagues, but it doesn't happen all the time. The trick is to understand what you love and what your passion is, and then to move forward from that.
What I kept falling back on was how I was impacted in a positive way by some of my coaches growing up. Coaches who make an impact on people's lives are the guys that you know care about you. I started to realize that's what I want to do.
And he said, "Mom, sit down." I'm like, "Okay." And he was afraid to tell me that he wanted to be a coach because he knew all the trials and tribulations of the moves and the jobs and getting a job and keeping a job and all this stuff. So by the time he told me what it was he wanted to tell me, that he wanted to be a coach, I was like, that's okay. You just have to go for it and do your best, be honest, be fair, and go on with life.
How we handle when things aren't the best is I bet on myself. And when he said that, as his spouse, I bet on him too. Just those words took a lot of fear out of what can happen, because I know what he's capable of. He knows what he's capable of. We have to trust the right opportunities are gonna come. And they do, and they will, and maybe not in a timeline that we would want, because you can't plan everything out in this industry, but I trust him and he trusts himself.
I've always wanted to have some separation from my dad. I didn't want people to think that I got into any position because of who he was. I wanted to have it on my own merit. But once I was into the coaching profession and I started to hear the stories about who he was as a man in the coaching profession, how he treated the custodians, the kitchen staff, the equipment guys, the video guys, I knew that I wanted to coach with him before he retired. So I was fortunate enough to be able to do that.
It was fun to watch him grow. It's an incredible experience. It's a nice way to pay back your family for all the sacrifices they've had made for you, to see them be part of it. And now to have your son an
also
integral part of it was incredibly special and unique.
Very special.
Being part of an organization that won a Super Bowl was an incredibly special experience, as a lot of people would expect. What I thought was special about it was our team early on in the season, we weren't clicking, we weren't connecting. Infighting, you know, some guys talking smack about some other guys a little bit, you know, just enough that it became a little bit of an issue. It wasn't like it was a huge issue, but it was enough. But the players addressed the issues and made sure everything was on the table and they fixed the problems. And watching our team come together, continue to believe in each other and play for each other, and it was a pretty special thing to be a part of. That's what you need to have, in my opinion, to win the Super Bowl. It has to be a special collection and place and time for those guys to come together like that. I don't think you win it on talent alone. I don't think you win it on coaching alone. I think it's those guys truly believing and coming together. That's what happened to us at the Giants. So we beat Tom Brady and the Patriots.
I don't know if he was supposed to be here to play quarterback. I think maybe he was just supposed to be here to get that experience and have that memory of this is a place that you can raise a family and coach football at the same time and do it at a high level. And so when the opportunity to get him came, it was easy for us to go after him.
Feels great to be back at BYU. But what really truly makes it special is the people I'm with.
I speak for everyone on our staff that we all learned a lot from him this spring, and I know his players did too.
He's done such an incredible job of just understanding, like, hey, we're building from what we've had in the past, and we'll just keep on moving forward because of it.
You can see how he commands his players in a way that he's seen a lot of football and he's been experienced in the way that he's done things.
He's coached receivers, he's coached tight ends, he's a former quarterback, he has a command of the running game, he's a command of a passing game. I think he can observe a specific individual guy and say, here's what he needs to get better at. And I'm not sure everybody can do that.
It's overcoming adversity and understanding that you just don't give up. You continue to grow, you continue to get better. And once that becomes part of your life and how you approach your life, you're gonna be successful.
I've never seen someone work as hard. His depth of knowledge is so deep that even just listening to him and his dad talk about football, it's truly like another language. And to hear them talk and to see how much they know, coupled with passion, coupled with experience, to not bet on a person like that who you also know has a really beautiful heart, how do you not? I mean, that's a person I'd want on my team.
Wow, he brings a lot to your room, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's awesome. And his family, I mean, he and Rachel are a great addition to our football family, and their baby girl, Blair. They're awesome. And so having, you can see that he comes from a line of teachers, and I've learned quite a bit from him, not just from football, but just how he lives his life. He's a great example to me and a great friend to me. So this entire, him coming back full circle, it's mm-hmm. kind of fun, because it was about, he's a young freshman that wanted to play football, and now he's back here, and old, not as old as me, but, you know, he's getting there too, but we're just old guys that are just enjoying the environment and the culture that BYU has provided for us.
Oh, great feature on Kevin. Now time for our player guest tonight, and he came to the States from Southern Alberta, a Canadian playing college football south of the border, first for Boise State and then for BYU. And tonight he makes his Sitake Show debut. Please welcome into Studio C defensive end Isaiah Banya.
You look good with the layout.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man.
Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Well, as someone who gets his last name mispronounced a lot, my last name fools a lot of people, I can appreciate someone who may get various pronunciations of his surname. So, for the record, the right way to do it.
So, the right way to say it is Banya. So, B-A-N and then Y-A-H.
Isaiah Banya. Just
that
like
simple.
That.
That easy.
B-A-G-N-A-H, but do not be fooled. Banya is the way to say it.
That's
good.
How I say it.
All right. Lethbridge, Alberta.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm from Calgary, so there you go.
There you go.
All right. The interest in sports you had growing up.
So, I mean, actually, I started off playing indoor soccer. Actually, that's a lie. I started off playing basketball when I was like 4. I remember my mom having me go into this one tournament. It's a Steve Nash tournament. You know, just little guys running around. We had playing half court. And
another great Canadian, by the way.
Absolutely. Okay. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to downplay that, right? But I remember I went up for a layup, and I came down, and my elbow hit little kid's nose. And it started bleeding. He started crying and everything. And I remember I was just like, oh, my goodness. Like, this sport is not for me, man. Like, I'm out here hurting little kids, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I actually stopped playing basketball at that point, and then I got – like, I took a couple years off, and then I played indoor soccer. And I got into indoor soccer and, you know, running around everything. It was cool and all, got my feet a little right. But and then I played out for 3 years, and I just quit sports in general.
So hockey wasn't happening for you either?
Absolutely not. You don't want to see me on skates. I left that to my friends, man, my cousins, all of them. They can do that. But it just wasn't for me, man, you know what I'm saying? But eventually I got back into playing basketball a little bit, just intramural, like at my elementary school. And actually, it's cool because I was just watching the Deep Blue with Coach Gilbride, and I didn't play football until I was 11 years old. And the reason why I started playing football was because of that New York Giants team in 2012. That was the first time I ever watched football. And that was the first time I ever even was introduced to it. I was like, man, you know, that's incredible. That's something that I want to do someday. And the next thing you know, my mom has me signed up for the next season. You know, the rest is history. you know? So that's pretty much my upbringing. You know, I throughout like middle school and high school, I got back in basketball. In fact, I was actually looking to play basketball post high school, you know, but once it came down to it, football was my calling, I believe so.
And there was a bit of a pipeline from Canada to Boise State, mm-hmm. right? And that's where you ended up first.
Absolutely. I mean, they were going out looking for, you know, Canadians. Brian Harsin at the time, he's telling his staff, you know, we want to have, you know, that kind of same basically impact that the Canadians in the past has had for that program. So that's really why they came out all the way up to good old Alberta, man, to see me. And then, yeah.
When did you first see him, Kalani?
Well, we played against him, you know, you start to take notice of really good players, and I just like the way that he his personality. You can see that he was, the people are attracted to him on his team, and you can tell that he's the kind of the glue that keeps the locker room together, and he would be a natural leader. And so when we had an opportunity to bring him here, came on a visit, and wanted to get to know him and his mom and his history and his background. Mm-hmm. Not as much Canadian background as you guys are giving us right now, but really just about him and basically what he's about, and started to realize that he's perfect for BYU, and the rest is history. I mean, it seems like he was always part of us from the very beginning anyways. We just had to go a different way about getting him, and now that he's here, it's one of the bright things of the portal is that you start to see him really thrive and not just in football. This young man is going to do some wonderful things in life. I'm so excited about what he's going to do as a husband and as a father and just a community leader, you know, and he's going to do some wonderful things, and he's going to lead wonderful people and help change the world, and I'm really lucky to be his coach.
You weren't the only Bronco to come down here. Coach Papinga, Will Farron.
Yep.
Yeah, so, and you just maybe a little bit about that, the fact that you came down with some friendly faces at the
right.
same time.
I mean, it was, you know, especially going to a new environment, a new program, it was cool to have just kind of like that little bit of, you know, familiarity that have come with me. You know, Will, me and him have been close ever since he first got to Boise, you know what I'm saying? So that was really cool. And then, you know, K-Pop, he was somebody I've always respected. He's somebody I always wanted to be coached by. And when I had the opportunity to be coached by him again, you know, I had to take it. You know, I just love that guy. He does such a great job as, you know, being a leader in our position room, being a leader, honestly, on the team, in the whole program. I feel like a lot of guys look to him for a lot of insight and a lot of direction. And he's done a great job so far, and somebody I look up to.
A quick thought from you before the break. We got to go to break, but it's your second year at BYU. It's your last go round.
My last.
You're 5-0. You got Fox College, you know, big noon kickoff coming in. The hype is really high. Your thoughts about being part of an undefeated ranked football team right now?
I mean, it's awesome, of course, right? You know, we spent a lot of time and put forth a lot of effort this offseason, and you know, we had a goal and a mindset from the jump. And, you know, this was a part of our plan, was to be successful this season and to really go out and play the type of football that we were meant to play. And so it's awesome to see, you know, that starting to unfold. But at the same time, you know, it's 1-0 every week, right?
Right.
It's got to be focused and keep working hard, man. The rest will show.
All right, we're spending time with Isaiah Benny. We'll continue our conversation coming up. We'll also be playing a game we call Drip or Drown with Isaiah Benny.
Yeah.
When BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues.
What's up? My name's Hendricks, and I'm at the Student Athletic Building at BYU. Today we're going to be playing with Legos with Jake. Hi, I'm here with Jake, and we're going to be building some Harry Potter Legos today. Yeah.
So, Hendricks, you build the characters?
Mm-hmm.
Which one's your favorite?
Harry, Ron, but
Ron?
He's not in here.
Ron's not in here?
No.
Oh, that's lame.
And there's a head right here. Let's see.
That's Harry.
Hey, their legs are so small. Why don't they have the movable ones?
They don't have movable legs? They got tiny legs? Why are they are short. Look at them.
So freaking short.
So have you seen all the Harry Potters?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the best movie?
Probably that one, Serpent.
Right, yeah? Yeah, that one's cool. That scene where he's in like the little corridor and the serpent's chasing after him, and it's like twice as big as him?
Yeah.
So I'm in the middle of watching all of them straight, and I just finished the first one.
Owning Myrtle's annoying.
Yeah, there are some annoying characters.
Wait, I mixed it up.
That's funny.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, the hands, the different colors.
What house are you in?
I think I have to say Gryffindor, for sure. I think me and Harry would be cool.
According to the internet, I'm in Hufflepuff.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, I finished the characters.
All right, well, I got the first little part down. But I don't think I'm building a boat. Am I building a boat?
Oh, yeah. It looks like I have some boat parts.
Yeah, there's two boats, so I think we have to do the same thing twice.
Jake, did you play with a lot of Legos growing up?
Dude, I was Mr. Lego growing up. I played with all of the Legos I get hands on. I still have Legos in my house right now, actually. I built a set probably a month ago. So I built Legos like crazy.
I love Legos.
Me too.
That's so fun. Did you ever play Legos with your family or your friends?
Yeah, I think my family a lot. Both my other brothers, I have two brothers, one older, one younger. We all got a bunch of Lego sets and played them the most. Although I think that I kind of took it over at one point and started hogging all the Legos, to be honest with you, because I loved it from the beginning. So I can't lie. I think I was the guy who was stealing all the Legos from my brothers.
Okay, the boats are done.
Nice. Now you put them in the boats. Yeah, I think the two of them fit in each boat.
Yeah, it looks like that dude looks scared in the back of the boat, and Hermione's in the front, but we want them to be joyful. I'm gonna put his hands up so it looks like he's on a roller coaster having lots of fun.
There you go.
If you were a character in Harry Potter, which character would you be?
I think like a lot of people, I'd want to say Harry, but something tells me I'd be a fool like Ron, stumbling over myself everywhere I want. Especially when I didn't know what was going on, like Ron in the very beginning of the movie.
What character would Kalani be?
Coach Kalani, he would be probably... That's a good question. Oh, Dumbledore. Professor Dumbledore, for sure. He's this the all-smart guy who just gives the right advice and lets you learn from your mistakes. That's who he is, for sure.
I bet my dad would be Ron.
Have you been to football games at BYU yet?
Yeah, I've been.
Yeah, do you remember what games you've been to?
No.
Did you go last year?
No.
No, you gonna come to one this year and watch me play after building Legos with me?
Sure.
All right, sweet.
Sounds I got good. It. Thanks for building Legos with me, Jake.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Presented by Intermountain Health. Well, this morning on BYU Sports Nation, Mark Collins, BYU DB, was interviewed by our own Spencer Linton. He was talking about team improvement, and here's what Mark had to say. Check it out.
If you were to be nitpicky about BYU's football team, anything surrounding BYU football right now, of areas that you want to shore up or fix or just adjust, what would that be?
I would say we got to all get together as a team, and we got to pick out different outfits. You know, our outfits as a team is not up to par, but you know, most of the time we're in sweats and whatnot, but when we go out and want to, you know, have a nice lunch or something, we got to pick up our outfits a little bit. And I could do a better job of, you know, assisting in that, for sure. Other than that, we ready to go.
Man, I'm sitting there going, he's giving it a lot of thought. Something really deep and tactical is going to come up, and that's what we came up with. So clearly, Mark thinks the team drip, as the kids say, needs a little improvement. So that's why tonight we are playing with Isaiah Banya, our first round of Drip or Drown.
There we go. Let's see it.
All right, drip or drown. Here's how it's going to work. Isaiah, you're going to be the arbiter here, the judge of fashion. We're going to show you some photos. I think these are taken off social media, photos of your teammates, both current, nice. I think current and maybe even former. And we are going to have you simply give us a drip or drown judgment and maybe some insight okay. as to why their choices work or maybe don't. Okay. We're going to start off with the man that began this whole escapade, Mark Collins.
Let's go.
So this is a Mark Collins photo. Could be a, I'm not sure what he's doing there. Either way, he's got, he's working a multicolored hoodie and a Dodgers cap, maybe an alternate colored Dodgers cap. Your thought on Mark Collins, drip or drown?
You know, it's, I'm sorry, Mark. I'm gonna have to give you drown, man. I'm sorry. Hey, that's all love, brother. But me personally, I just don't know if I could wear those colors again.
I'm just looking at the cup of noodles over there.
That's true. I did see that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We give Mark a drown, regretfully. Number two, Joshua Sing, defensive tackle. Joshua Sing. He clearly wants to be comfortable and casual. You know.
Hey, but y'all see his shoes though. See, that's what everybody's missing. You gotta see his shoes. I can see the tongue on it. So you know, it's cool, man. And for his style, like, I'll give him drip.
I'll give Sing drip for Josh Sing. Plus, you know, drip. I like, you know, the tackles. They gotta be comfy. They gotta
absolutely
be loose.
You know what I'm saying, for a big man.
It's in Hawaii too.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's Mikey V's house.
It's just all around the vibe.
Okay, so that's a laid back drip for Josh Sing. Number three. Would be Cody Epps.
Okay. Oh.
Wow, I got it. I mean,
hey.
You know, Cody would say Cody's got drip.
Oh, I know. Of course.
Yes.
You know, I actually took this picture for him. I actually took it for him, man.
Where was
that? Hey, how many did you take, though? Was it this?
Oh, this was like one of like 50, truthfully. Yeah. You know, I don't even know where this was at, dude. We was just all around, man. You know, but you know, the thing is, I like it. You know, I like the chains, the all black, you know, in the shades on inside. I'm going to give him drip.
Absolutely. I'm going to give him drip. There's no doubt about that. Yes.
I'm going to give him drip.
Okay, drip for Cody.
Yeah, it's his passion, man. Yeah.
All right, we're staying with the what they call quote unquote skill positions. Keanu Hill, the tight end Keanu Hill.
Kibo. Oh. What do you think about this one?
That's my culture. It better be drip.
Right.
Hey, man, I'm supporting Canada. You got to support
me. You're right, man. Yeah. Hey, I like the sunglasses, and I do like the shirt. The shirt is cool. I don't know about the shoes, though. I just don't.
The drink looks good, though.
The drink does look good. I think that drink in itself might just get them to drip.
Okay. We got drip for Kibo. Well done. Yep. All right. Next, your boy from Boise, Will Farron.
Ooh.
This is kind of the boy next door here. I'm not sure how much drip you're going to manufacture out of this one, but what do you think?
You know, it's clean, it's classy. I like his smile, nice shave. You know, the stash is popping. And for Will, I'll give him drip.
So, okay.
Well, I'll give him drip. You know what I'm saying?
It's conservative drip.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good.
I like
good.
That. All right. Conservative drip.
All right. This is a former Coug we love dearly still, Ben Bywater.
Ooh, okay.
Ben is out on the town.
Good shoes.
We do think it's Ben. And,
I mean, okay, I like the shoes. You know what? I even like the little bag. I love New York. the pose looking away, man. You know, he's low-key killing this post, man. I'm going to give him drip.
So tourist drip there for Ben Bywater. Okay. Another former Cougar who crashed the show last week, Malik Moore.
Ooh.
Malik. Oh.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, this is a very interesting fit. You know, actually, funny story about this picture.
You took this one, too?
I did. See, I didn't take this one, but I was there because this was a part of a fast show we did. We did a fashion show in the off season. The person who designed his fit thought this was a great, you know, match for Malik. And hey, I mean, the picture, it looked good, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about the cowboy hat, truthfully, you know what I'm saying? But other than that, the baggy pants, the cut off denim. I'll give him drip.
Gotta go.
I'll
drip.
Give him drip. Yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Because he'd have to judge my fit too. I don't want to say drip.
No, he's owning that look. I think that.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
He's killing that.
Okay,
yeah,
we're going to Chase Roberts for our next look. Wow, that's.
You know, it's a classic Chase picture, man. I like it, but there's not much to it, other than just like you know, the headband. The blue shirt, at least the shirt matches the drink.
There we go.
You know what I'm saying?
He's so accessorizing.
He's got a little something going on. He's got a little something going on, man. But I love you, man, but I'm drowning you. I love you.
Two more to go. Darius Lassiter is next up in Drip or Drown.
Let's see it. Oh, okay.
He's got the Rodman.
The Rodman shirt.
The shoes.
Okay. Oh, okay. I like the shoes. Yeah. Twin. Skinny jeans. That's the one thing I don't know about. You know what I'm saying? But everything else is cool, man. The shades, you know, the pose, the shoes, the shirt match the shoes.
So taking on a hole on the balance.
On the balance?
Sounds like drip to me.
Sounds like drip, don't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's right, good.
You don't get drip from me, bro. Yep. You don't get drip from me.
And our last one. Little self-reflection here for you, Isaiah Banya.
Hey, man, I just posted this one. Oh, this is drip for sure, man. 100% drip. Yep, drip. You know what I'm saying? The shirt, pants, all that. Drip. The chain, yeah.
It's a straight drip for you.
10 out of 10.
There you go.
10 out of 10. That's funny, man.
Thanks for playing Drip or Drown with us, Isaiah. You did very well.
Appreciate that,
Appreciate
man.
The insight. After this break, some in-studio Q&A for the coach and Isaiah, and some BYU football trivia. When BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues on BYU TV, BYU Radio, and ESPN+.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics, Smarty, Address Data Wizards, and Ken Garf. We hear you.
Yeah, I like that.
Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Let's head to our studio audience now for our weekly Q&A segment presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. We have a mic on a stand in the studio. We have people by the microphone stand. Young man, your name is?
My name is Judson.
Judson, who's your question for? Isaiah or the coach?
Both.
Both. Fire away.
So for school, I'm on a student council as a co-chair. And what tips do you guys have for being a better leader?
Want to tell you
something? You go first.
In my opinion, one of the best ways that you can improve as a leader is to have a purpose behind, you know, what you're trying to emphasize to the people you're leading, and to be intentional about it. And especially when it comes down to the small things, the little things are what's most important. So in those regards, just be intentional with your purpose and implement the little things as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it. Next up, sir. What's your name?
My name is Shan Nakamoto from Kona, Hawaii. And my question is, how does your Polynesian heritage influence how you are building the BYU football program?
Well, I think the key to me is the gospel. You know, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for that. My family, I was born in Tonga, so my family came over here with the opportunity to gain an education, my father, and so my grandpa was already here. And that was the key, was that we have, in our culture, it's big on family, but it's also faith and God, and so we've had, that's kind of just how we were raised, and that's the thing that I think our culture brings a lot is it's about family, it's about God, and And a lot of us can play football, so it works perfectly for me.
Thank you. Thank you, Kalani. As we head to break, here's this week's trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. Tonight's question, BYU ranks 23rd in all-time bowl appearances. How many bowl appearances has BYU made? The answer coming up right after this. Stay with us. The answer here, 40 bowl appearances for BYU.
There you go.
That is pretty amazing stuff. All right, here's this weekend's broadcast schedule for BYU and Arizona. Of course, Fox Big Noon Kickoff is in town. They'll be in the parking lot at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. There's your times for the pregame show, Noon Mountain Kickoff at 2 Mountain. And the uniform for this weekend will be the white helmets with the royal jerseys and the white pants. It's a great classic look. Look forward to seeing the Cougs and Wildcats play in that on Saturday. Isaiah and Coach Satake, thanks for giving us a great show. Good luck this weekend, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome. Have a great week, Coach. Go Cougs.